In the fall of 1978, our father brought home a stack of books from the library on activities to do with us kids as an attempt to get himself sober. He had Taking the Kids Outside, The Dangerous and Exciting Backyard, old back issues of 17 and Boys Life magazines, and Boy Scouts training manuals. I was 13, and my two little brothers, Lewis and Connor, were 10 and 9. Of course, we didn't know it at the time, but from that point on, what he read the night before would be implemented the following morning as the day's activities, and for a year, this became his new parenting style. "Today we are going to find the heartbeat of a tree," he bellowed into our bedrooms on a Saturday morning in September. We were to dress and meet him on the front porch in 15 minutes. Our father had traded with a truck driver fireworks from his shop for a contact microphone and headphones. He used to run his store like a pawn shop, trading goods that he'd bring home for himself or for us kids. We each took a turn wearing the headphones while he placed the microphone into the warped knot hole of a hollow tree. "That's the heartbeat," he told us as the soft shivering sound snuck into our ears. That calming sound momentarily soothed the coil of nerves that had gripped me since childhood that I could not seem to shake. By the third tree, my father was yelling at my brothers again, and he handed me the microphone and tried to separate the wrestling match. "Come on, sit and be patient like your sister," he told them, and pointed to me sitting at the base of a large elm. I hunched closer to the tree like a dutiful daughter and let the rhythmic crackling and distant gurgling noises seep into my bones. "The noises come from grubs nibbling away at the wood," he said. But I was beyond his voice and was already convinced everything around me was alive. From what I could tell, our father's amped-up efforts at parenting began after my parents started going on their Wednesday night dates, which really meant marriage counseling sessions in town. It was one of the only times they were consistently in close proximity. If they were both at home together, chaos usually broke out.
"You're not even listening, Terence. Just listen for once, will you?" our mother yelled. "You were told to be a better listener."
"Well, I was also told to tell you when you are being impossible to love. Remember that?" he yelled back. Then they'd quickly lash out at each other, going for the seams to tear the other down, or reverting to a silence that wouldn't break until our father became too agitated to sit still. Then he took us kids outside and gave us lists of things we needed to learn, as if he were trying to systematically force on us an interest in the world.
"You have to know the world you're in to know who you are in the world," he said.
Then we moved on to learning a list of backyard bugs, which he was in a hurry to teach us, like something essential was on the line. This only made us anxious instead of satiating anything in him. We'd race one another to find millipedes, crickets, grasshoppers, and potato bugs, which I secretly envied for their ability to curl up in their instant armor. That October, he woke us early, and we spent a long weekend making a stone oven in our backyard out of used cinder blocks, red bricks, and clay we dug out of the riverbank that bordered the far end of the cemetery. He never considered what it looked like to people driving by who saw us carrying industrial-strength black garbage bags laden with clay and shovels slung over our shoulders as we crept out of the graveyard.